is really the news of the day. But we'll give you a little piece of Ron Paul and a little piece of the excitement in Nashville this weekend. Go ahead and roll that for you now.
Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my father, Ron Paul.
That was Rand Paul introducing Ron Paul at the Nashville rally. The video is worth seeing just to see this huge, overflowing crowd, every seat full, standing ovations, absolutely amazing. Just YouTube search that. Ron Paul Nashville, it'll come up for you. You'll notice Ron Paul mentions Rand Paul as a future politician in this opening comments here. Something I mentioned on Friday, I'm starting to see that emerge.
It's so nice, what a warm welcome. And I appreciate my son coming all the way down from Bowling Green. I'm sure he didn't say it, but you know, I think he has planned someday to maybe participate in the political system. Who knows?
Can we say Rand Paul for Congress?
The reception has been so fantastic. I suspect the revolution is truly spreading.
Dr. Paul refers to the revolution increasingly.
We make a comment about our music that we have. Rocky Lynn doesn't need his hair.
Dr. Paul, gracious as always.
Anytime you can help him out, that's okay with me. But it is a real delight to have a reception like this. People ask me, where do I go? Well, sometimes I go where we're called. And we were called because somebody told me there was a fantastic meetup group here in Nashville. There's a meetup group doing something. I would have said, what is a meetup group? But there are a lot of meetup groups right now. I think it's getting close to 1,000 meetup groups. Because the other campaigns and even media come along and they pester me and they say, how do you do it? Who do you have organizing? Who's the expert? I tell them, It doesn't work that way. They just spontaneously come about. And other campaigns want to emulate us and copy us, so they think that they only had enough money to hire the right person to do this organization. They too could have 1,000 meetup groups. But I told them, that's not the way it works. You first have to have a message worth listening to.
Now, this is something you're going to hear in some of the news reports we'll listen to a little bit later. They're talking about the message and how important it is and how it's catching on with people.
And that is essentially what I have been trying to do for a lot of years. I have never known what the outcome would be, and I have followed a personal philosophy that my job was to be well-informed. If I wanted to participate, offer my services and offer the philosophy and see what happens. And at times, I would be pessimistic and think that there will only be a dozen or two or more. And yet, even though I was a bit reluctant to get involved here in the last 10, 12 months, let me tell you, the results have been far beyond anything I ever dreamed of. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people out there like you who already knew about it and wanted to hear the message, and there are a lot of new people joining us by leaps and bounds every single day.
And he's absolutely right. The meetups are growing, but we need to get active. We need to get out. We need to...
That young people like the message. Young people like the ideas of liberty. Young people like to be left alone. Well, young people like the freedom of the internet. Yeah. And young people, as well as and many others, like the idea of not only should the internet be free, but it should never be taxed or regulated by the government. Freedom is something that I so strongly believe in. I notice my shortcomings, but I've never lost confidence. I'm never reluctant to express my absolute conviction that if society is to achieve greatness and opportunity for the individual, it has to be through a free society, not through a totalitarian society.
So we have someone who truly, truly believes, who walks his talk, and truly believes his message.
The other great discovery I have made during this campaign, I suspected it was true, but I've really verified what has happened since we have gotten so many to join. The groups that come together are very diverse, like was mentioned earlier by Lou. He said that we could go to San Francisco, we could be well received, we can go to Salt Lake City and be well received, and we can go to the center of the country, to Nashville, and be well received. It isn't. It brings people together because it's non-confrontational. We don't want to tell people how to run their lives. We don't want to run the economy. And we don't want to tell the rest of the world what to do with their lives.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take that out here. There's a whole lot more. It's about 40 minutes long or so. And there is a lot of pre-rally material that perhaps I'll be able to play for you in subsequent days. Interview with Rand Paul. Lots of great material came out of this. Unfortunately, I won't be able to play it all for you. I have the fortunate dilemma now that there is so much that comes out on any given day that I can't play it all for you. Used to be back in the old days, a whole 2 months ago, I had to scrounge for material. Now there is an overwhelming abundance of material generated on a daily basis so that I don't have enough time to bring it all to you. I'll just try to my best to bring you the very best. Now, you know, I hate to cut off Dr. Paul's speech, and, you know, we love listening to it, but I think that we can all go online and listen to that. What I would like to do for you now is play some of the news reports, and I think the news is sort of the news at the moment. Before I play the national news, let me go ahead and play this piece from News Channel 5 in Nashville, their report on the Nashville visit by Ron Paul.
And good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Another presidential hopeful is in Middle Tennessee today.
That's right, and some of you may have never heard of Ron Paul, but the dark horse Republican candidate is making some big waves in the 2008 election. News Channel 5's Jeff Tang was at a rally for Paul this afternoon, and Jeff, there was a huge turnout today.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. 1,500 people packed into the War Memorial Auditorium to see Paul speak, part of a growing enthusiasm for the Texas congressman that traces its roots to the internet. Dave Perry is part of an online group of about 300 friends.
There's a groundswell that's happening, and it's really powerful.
The group, based in Nashville, recently decided to ask presidential candidate Ron Paul to visit them. Fat chance, right?
We love you!
We contacted them, and they said we'd love to come to Nashville.
Turns out this is how the Republican congressman from Texas is building his campaign, by listening to online supporters across the country and meeting them.
Sort of overwhelming. It's something that is unique. I think it's unique in our history.
We're going to have a big crowd, and it's going to be fantastic. This is just a small example of the types of things that are happening really across the country.
Thank you.
On Saturday, nearly 1,500 people came to support Paul on his visit to Nashville.
If I were old enough, I'd vote for Ron Paul for president.
Well, it looks like I'm slow in coming. It looks like I've had a lot of support here, and I'm delighted to receive such a warm welcome.
While Paul still trails heavily in national polls, The Republican is making waves for his anti-war limited government positions. And also, his fundraising. Paul pulled in $5 million last quarter, shocking most political experts. Perhaps to most, Ron Paul is still an unfamiliar presidential candidate. But to this crowd, he is their only one.
Here in Nashville.
It was great. Never heard a man speak like that before, in my lifetime anyway.
Even though a lot didn't know about it, a lot did, and a lot more will know at the end of the day than they did at the beginning of the day.
Now, the group of Ron Paul backers that helped bring him to Nashville are part of a website called Meetup. Supporters across the country have set up nearly 1,000 meetup groups dedicated to making Ron Paul the next president. Just shows the role the Internet can play in politics, Scott.
It absolutely is. Jeff, thank you. And Paul's campaign officials say more than 70% of the $5 million they raised last quarter actually came from online donations.
Okay, so there you have it. Now, nothing to complain about, I think, in that report. Pretty tight, pretty accurate, not a lot of insinuation thrown in the way you get sometimes. And you know I'm all over that when I hear it. And so I think that, you know, there's no denying what happened in Nashville this weekend. They certainly couldn't do a report on it and deny, you know, the popularity of the message, the popularity of the man, the strength of the campaign. They were pretty much obligated to report it as is. So there you have it. And I am fully confident we will be seeing much more of that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go on the edge right now. I'm going to predict a turnout of 3,000 people in New York City for this weekend. 3,000 people in New York City. Now, that may be on the low side, but I think 3,000 people in New York City this weekend minimum. Now, this, of course, this Saturday is, of course, the All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message, and we will have live reports from across the country for you, and we will be broadcasting those to you. Now, we have already organized, thus far, that we know of, 42 walks in support of Ron Paul across the country, and that's fantastic, though. If you haven't got it together to walk for Ron Paul on this Saturday, please do so. More on that later. And there will be a walk in New York City from a location to the rally, and we will be covering that, and we will also be bringing you the audio of Ron Paul's speech and commentary from Ron Paul organizers on the scene in New York City. We do have a call. Right now on the line we have Chris Holly, and I believe Chris is the organizer for the Memphis, Tennessee Ron Paul Meetup. Are you there with us, Chris?
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in. So were you there this weekend at the rally in Nashville? Silly question. Of course you were there.
Oh, yeah. I had to be there, even if I had to walk.
Great. And why don't you go ahead and tell folks your impressions and give a little color about what the scene was like. Did you hear the news report that we just played?
No, I was actually on a business call.
Okay. All right. Well, that was the Channel 13 in Nashville news report. No doubt you've seen that. Was that a fairly accurate report?
Yeah, I've seen both of them. I mean, the news reports doesn't even do us any kind of justice. It doesn't do it any kind of justice. I mean, it's one of the things that just had to be there. And we actually started out at Nashville's a very hilly city, so we actually pulled into a parking lot, and we were on the other side of where it was all going on. So at first we're like, oh my God, we don't think it's going to be that big, you know, and as we started walking up the hill, all of a sudden we seen to our left people start walking this way, and it started that way. And as we got towards the top of the hill, and we looked over, and just like, boom, just the whole city filled up with Ron Paul, and it was just everybody's mouth dropped. And, I mean, in front of they call it the Pinnacle. It's like a Capitol. In front of there, down the streets, they were having marches, and I mean, just, it was like you just walked to the middle of Ron Paul land. And the most amazing thing about it is it's in Nashville, and that's Fred Thompson's, that's his headquarters, that's his playground. I mean, that's supposedly where all his support is, and that's where the vast majority of his money came from. And to put that in context, that's like me having the 4th of July in Tiananmen Square, okay? And it was just amazing. And the greatest part about it was, is after the event, I mean, it was electrifying, but the Ron Paul speech, but it fired up everybody so much that when they left, everybody just took out in all directions of downtown, because they have all kinds of stuff downtown Nashville. It's a very happening place. And we went down there just to find what was going on, and everywhere we went, people were just like coming up to us off the street. Who's this Ron Paul? Who's this guy? And we luckily, one of my assistant organizers, he goes, hey, man, I think we need to bring brochures. So we had our pocket stuff with brochures and stickers. And we went to a bar. The band called us up on stage and started asking Ron Paul. We gave the guy a T-shirt. We got outside, and we just got mugged. By the time we got back to our cars, we didn't have any literature, any bumper stickers. They were trying to buy the T-shirts off our backs. Everything was bought off, so it was back to the people, you know, at our cost, you know, because they were just begging for it. And it was just, I was blown away. Our whole group, everybody that went, is just fired up.
Excellent. Well, that's exactly what we need to be hearing. We need to be hearing this nationwide. It needs to be happening every day. And, you know, it's starting, but we all got to pick it up and match what you guys in Nashville are doing and in Memphis are doing. Guys, people listening out there, there's an example to emulate. You know, be like Tennessee. If we were all working that hard, if we all had that kind of enthusiasm, there is no way we could possibly lose this election. The time is right. We have the right candidate. The circumstances are great. The people are ready. They just need to hear the message. And fortunately, we are starting to break through, Chris. You know, I think earlier on in the campaign, a whole, say, like a month ago, you know, a whole, like, maybe 2 months ago, I would have told you that there is no way that we were going to break through with the bought and paid for establishment media, that there was no way that we were going to get any recognition from the hacks that run the corporate media. Well, looks like if I had said that, and I probably did at some point, I was completely wrong. Because what's happening?
Well, it's almost like I think we've kind of just bent their arms around their back, you know, kind of like the little police move, and threw them up against the car where they don't have any choice, because they coined the term dark horse, and now they're having to admit Ron Paul as the dark horse, and pretty soon I'm going to go on the line and predict that they're going to call him by next month or month and a half. They're going to call him a first-tier candidate.
Well, it's starting. I'm going to play some clips for you now, where you're going to see that has begun. It has already begun. Now, it's not with all the media, but certainly with some of the media, we are getting virtual endorsements of Ron Paul. Not quite, you know, straight-up endorsements, but certainly from a number of important media figures, we are getting virtual endorsements of Ron Paul, recognition that he is, in fact, a serious candidate. And so let's go ahead and play a little bit of that right now. We're going to start off with Ron Paul on the Good Morning America show. I believe that was Sunday morning. Maybe Sunday morning or it was Saturday morning. Either one. Let's go ahead and listen to a little of this.
Turn to politics now and the story of a bona fide grassroots sensation. Ron Paul is the...
Well, first, I just want to, you know, there we go. This is ABC News and Good Morning America, and they started off with a very enthusiastic, a bona fide grassroots sensation. Now, that's a breakthrough, just to get that. You know, usually they start off the report with, well, he's barely showing in the polls. Nobody knows who he is, and he doesn't have a chance in hell of winning the Republican nomination, but here we have Ron Paul for you. This time we get now a bona fide sensation, grassroots sensation, Ron Paul. I think that's a breakthrough, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Oh, big breakthrough. Matter of fact, you can see they're constantly changing their attacks. When one doesn't work, then they all just come out with this little script, and then they start the next kind of attack.
Right,
you see it progressing.
I comment on that on the show all the time. And to get back to a point that you raised earlier, let me just go ahead and play the clip, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later. Let's just play this.
Turn to politics now and the story of a bona fide grassroots sensation. Ron Paul is the only Republican contender to post notable fundraising gains last quarter, managed to pull in $5 million, mostly online, a lot of it from our troops, and it puts him on par with John McCain, a congressman and doctor. Now joins us live from Dulles Airport in Virginia. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. So why do you think you are the only Republican to call for an end to this war, to break with the president?
I think it's a message people want to hear, and I've been talking this way for a long time, and we finally got some attention, and the people are rallying behind this, and they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, and the campaign keeps growing, so we're very pleased with what's happening.
You don't do any hand-wringing when it comes to how we leave Iraq and what it means for the future of our relations in the Middle East?
Yeah, I don't think it's complicated. I mean, we just went in, and we went in erroneously. We went in without the proper authority. We went in under a false pretense, and all the conditions that were claimed didn't exist, and it's going badly. So I think we should just leave, because staying there makes things worse. It endangers us. It increases the danger of terrorism. There used to be 600 al-Qaeda before we went in there. Now there are probably 6,000. We don't know. So everything we're doing is backfiring on us. There's too many unintended consequences. So the very simple thing is that we ought to come home and mind our own business and save a lot of money and take care of our problems here at home.
You are an old-school libertarian. You want to do away with Social Security, the Department of Education, drug enforcement, and abolish the IRS. How do you pay the bills then?
Well, you just spend a lot less money. You know, how did we pay our bills before 1913? We didn't have a warfare state. We didn't have an empire to take care of. We didn't have a welfare state that was sort of undermining our prosperity. So I would say, why don't we look to our history and look to our traditions, look to see how markets work and look to see how freedom works, pay attention to the Constitution. We really don't need an income tax. I mean, if you didn't have an income tax, you'd have the same amount of income as you had about 7 years ago. So it's not like it's the end of the world, but you have to cut back spending. The easiest place to cut back politically is overseas. We're spending nearly $1 trillion overseas maintaining an empire which does nothing more than get us into trouble and undermines our national defense.
Well, you can see why you are a big hit on Facebook. You're right below Paris Hilton, right above Mario Lopez on blog searches. But how do you take this to the next level? How do you compete with the big money guys?
Well, we keep staying on the trajectory. I mean, we doubled the amount of money we raised last time. We had about 40,000 new donors. The average donation is $40. So we keep doing this, and we run a frugal campaign. The other campaigns are wasting their money. We have less personnel, and we have more money in the bank than we raised in the last quarter. We have $5.3 million. And if we keep doubling this, we're going to have plenty of money to advertise in the primary. So I would say keep doing what we're doing. The more people that hear this message, the more they rally around us. And it's such a great message. It's a message of freedom and what America is all about, and about prosperity and hope.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate your time. We'll let you catch your
plane.
Okay, so here's a nice little piece on Good Morning America. I think it's pretty good exposure. And the guy, was respectful for one thing. I don't know the name of the interviewer. But I noticed the tone of respect that is often lacking in Ron Paul's prior interviews with the media. Sort of dismissive, disrespectful. Here, I think you got a tone of respect right off the top, calling him a grassroots sensation. And, a few things he did mention that, how are you going to compete with the big money guys? And so, asking the question, not just assuming that you can't compete, you don't have a chance, the way Stephanopoulos put it, you're not going to happen, which is the usual assumption. Instead, he asked the question, how are you going to compete? In other words, we know you're going to compete. How are you going to compete? I think there's a shift going on. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I gauge the response from Ron Paul. I do it through AM talk radio. And the reason being is And I don't do it on the national shows. I do it for local shows. And the reason being is if you call, if you hear the national show, Michelin, Bob, Sean Hannity, or Fox News, and think that's the way people think, they don't. Because a lot of the people that actually call into those shows are shills. They're paid for.
Yeah.
Phil Valentine in Nashville did a awesome, I wish people would look it up. He did an interview in local talk radio in Nashville. We're trying to get one set up down here for Mike Fleming. He's a super station, covers three states. And they're all very, very respectful, even if they don't agree with every issue, because they have to basically toe the GOP line because they're on by Clear Channel. But the thing, people are calling there in droves. If I take it off the subject just for 1 second.
Sure.
After the debate, people were calling, the guy was calling in for the talk show host, Mike Fleming, was basically going to make it Fred Thompson Day and talk about Fred Thompson. People were calling in droves. I didn't even know any of these people, but one guy from our group, one guy. People were calling in droves for supporting Ron Paul, and they were bashing Fred Thompson, calling him a fake conservative. It was so bad that a local GOP head actually called into the show and accused our group of setting it up.
Well, you know, it's going to be harder and harder for them to deny the undeniable, and I think all of what you're talking about is going to go on an increasing basis. So there's no sign that this campaign is abating in any way, shape, or form. It's only just now leaving the launching pad. I think we can see right now, we can just see it leaving the launching pad. The booster rocket was that $5 million in the third quarter. Let's go ahead and play this piece of Ron Paul on, well, this is a piece from ABC News This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Now, what I love about this piece is we start to see George eat some crow. Ooh. Does that crow taste good, George? Let's all enjoy listening to George Stephanopoulos eat some crow, because we all remember how he said, not going to happen, to Ron Paul in his interview with him in reference to his chances for winning the White House. Let's go ahead and listen to this now.
Is doing on our roundtable with George Will, Katrina VandenHeuvel of The Nation magazine, Claire Shipman, and Washington Bureau Chief of Time, Jay Carney. And George, I know you are not a Fred Thompson fan, but before we let you comment on that performance, here, let me show the latest Iowa poll. Just came in overnight, Des Moines Register. It shows that Mitt Romney is still in first at 29%, but Fred Thompson moving up to 18%, Mike Huckabee at 12%, Rudy Giuliani down to 4th, John McCain at 7%.
Where's my man Ron Paul?
Okay, now that was George Will, who is I believe he writes for the National Review and other such magazines. Very well-known columnist. Very, very. This is top tier. Where's my man Ron Paul? Very interesting. Let's hear some more.
There's a group that has yet to be heard from, and it's called the voters. And they do have a way of turning things upside down, as Mr. Richardson just told you.
Talk about another dynamic in the Republican race, and that's the money fight. George Will mentioned Ron Paul raised $5 million, as much as John McCain this time around.
How does that crow taste, George? Mmm. Want a little ketchup with the crow, George? Mmm. Enjoy it.
I wonder if he'll still make the bet.
Yeah. Oh, every penny in his pocket. No, geez, George, did you put that money down? Having second thoughts, huh? Oh, boy. Let's go ahead and listen to some more.
And, Jay, one of the other things that struck me looking at these numbers on the money side was that Mitt Romney is starting to give more and more and more money to his campaign and starting to raise less. I mean, the percentage of his funds that actually come from his bank account has gone from 10% in the first quarter to something like 50%.
Right.
Almost 47% this quarter.
Started
but George, Ron Paul is raising this money.
George, Ron Paul has raised as much as John McCain in this quarter.
Ron Paul, like a good entrepreneur, has found a niche market.
Yeah.
Two of them.
But what does he do with it is my question.
He will go on the air with it in New Hampshire.
George, what does he do with it? He wins the election, you idiot. Okay, what do you think you do when the people love you? You win elections. Okay, excuse me. Here we go.
future, and it will resonate because there's a certain purity to the man and clarity and people like that. There's a huge libertarian understratum of the American electorate. There are a lot more than 5 million people out there who count themselves libertarians if they give them $1.
Now, the screen now says, Ron Paul for real, question mark? And so, Ron Paul for real. At least they're asking the question.
Peace, he'd have 5 million. There's a reason why Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged is a bestseller.
But George, it's also
like
with Ron Paul, and I hate the money primary. I think we need to bust open the system so that its ideas...
Well, Ron Paul is busting
no, but the ideas primary needs to be privileged over the money primary. The system's out of control. It's the first $1 billion presidential race in this country, and people and voters are losing.
Katrina,
George, but
Katrina,
the fact that Ron Paul...
Dollars every year in the last 2 weeks before Easter on candy.
All right. It's not a lot. Are you equating our political system with a candy system?
No,
if
money,
you are,
the
then
money
I
primary.
Suggest we need a democracy reconstruction project. No, wait a minute. Ron Paul is the war also. He's the only candidate, though Huckabee's made noises, he's the only candidate who's against the war. And there is a base for that in a Republican Party. Messianic crusade and says, this is not the Republican Party I knew.
Right. These are not typical Republican voters that he's tapping into. I mean, 80% of his money is coming from the Internet. He's doing stuff on second
right. None
line.
Of the other
virtual.
Republicans know how to do that. No, he's tapped
and that's
reality.
Why I have a hard time figuring out what his impact is going to be, except perhaps in New Hampshire where there is a libertarian movement. Let's move on.
Where's my man? And Ron Paul.
Okay, so at the end, Stephanopoulos says, well, we've got to figure out what his impact's going to be, because he's still not admitting that he's got a shot at winning the election. He's saying, no, he's going to have an impact. Now, he's going to have an impact, but the impact won't be he's going to win the election. It's just that he's going to have an impact, you know. But interesting, a point that I was making earlier in the show is, if you had told me, you know, a few months ago that any of these media personalities would be giving any credence to Ron Paul and his message, I would have said no, because they're all bought and paid for it. You can't get through to them. They, you know, they do what they're told, and I'm being proven wrong. And this is the effect of our work, Chris. The work that we're doing, the work that the campaign is doing, is that we are actually getting through to some of these media people, and they're starting to get it. Now, they're starting to get it. People like George Will and this other woman that was commenting. The light is going on. It may be dim. It may not be fully brilliant the way it is in your heart and mind, in my heart and mind, but they're beginning to see the light a little bit, enough to start to comment in a positive way. Go ahead.
I think some of it's the ivory tower scenario where they're up in their ivory tower and they don't realize what the peasants are doing until after the revolt starts. And in the meanwhile, they just see them out there walking in the fields doing their peasantry, and they don't realize what's going on until after the fact. And I think we're in that part right now. But I think pretty soon they're going to realize and they're going to recognize. I think one of the most important things that everybody out there listening, please get active in your meetup, because it's exponential growth. You know, I turn one guy on, this guy goes turns two people on, those two people turn two people on, and that's how it's just growing.
Absolutely. A point that cannot be emphasized enough, that, you know, it's great that we're out there, you know, on the Internet, and we're, you know, putting in votes on polls, and we're putting in text comments in boxes, and, you know, and we're donating online, and all this is great, but we've got to get past that Internet phenomenon image and really to the recognition that it is a phenomenon of the American people, not just people on the Internet. And I think that's what this weekend's walk is really all about, to show, hey, here we are, real people taking the streets and demonstrating our real support for this candidate, the real thing. And, you know, so everyone's got to turn out. I know that you guys are going to be walking in Memphis, Tennessee. And we've got 42 or 44 walks planned all across the country so far, and that's only the ones that I know of. So we do need to take that next step, literally. We've got to walk the walk, right, Chris? You know, you can't. It's enough. We're all talking the talk. Everyone can talk it and say, yeah, Ron Paul, yeah, Ron Paul. But now You got to walk the walk, just literally this Saturday, and then, you know, figuratively in the sense of all of our activities. So let's go ahead and play this piece from Tucker Carlson. He's talking about Ron Paul being the real thing. And now here's another example. I basically, you know, what I had seen of Tucker Carlson previously, I couldn't stand the guy. The guy just rubbed me the wrong way. He just annoyed the heck out of me. I would have told you, if you said Tucker Carlson was going to be saying positive things about Ron Paul, I would have said, you got to have your head examined. I know a good psychiatrist. Let me give you her number. And here we go with Tucker Carlson. Let's have a ring. Listen to that.
I think a man who's not polling huge numbers in the black community, but big in the libertarian community, Ron Paul, AB, raised $5 million, about $5 million. Significantly, he has $5.2 million cash on hand. He basically has spent nothing at all because he doesn't believe in profligate spending. The Politico today points out, you know, obviously he's not going to win.
And the screen says, the rise of Ron Paul. On the screen, that's the the text underneath is the rise of Ron Paul. Very nice. I gotta like that.
The nomination, unfortunately, but he could be a spoiler.
Okay, so Tucker saying, well, he doesn't have a chance at the nomination. Unfortunately, he did say unfortunately, which to me is means he would like to see Ron Paul win, which is pretty significant. And but now he's saying, well, he's going to play the role of the spoiler. Okay. Well, being the spoiler, I guess, is a bump up from the dark horse anyway.
Or he could hurt other candidates, namely Huckabee. Is Ron Paul's support going to get to the point where it's significant for other candidates?
I mean, I think that Ron, first of all, it's always fun when the guy gets ahead who has no intention of winning and isn't even really trying. So I think, you know, obviously Ron Paul is charming. And Ron Paul, I think, could mess up Iowa a bit. I mean, it is a problem for Huckabee. It could be a problem because...
Now the screen says, Ron Paul, the spoiler, question mark?
The field is so divided. If you look at the Republican side, we don't really know what's going to happen if Ron Paul messes up Iowa. We actually, and he really could.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with that party in general. Bill?
I just want to say about Ron Paul, you know, this idea that he's a spoiler. Spoiler for whom? I think the message is here that Ron Paul has a message, and people ought to start, instead of trying to throw him off the stage, they ought to start listening to him because he's talking
about
a non-interventionist foreign policy and fiscal responsibility, which are two basic conservative ideas.
But it's not just
I don't know who this guy is, but I like him. You got to start listening to Ron Paul, and he says, well, spoiler, come on. I mean, maybe he's something more than a spoiler. He's got an actual message.
Fiscal responsibility. He's talking about rolling back socialism, which is rapidly advancing on the country. Everybody else agrees that this should be a socialist country, that the government has a responsibility to take care of your children. You're not good enough to raise them. Mrs. Clinton and her minions must raise them for you. I mean, that is, we all agree on that, except Ron Paul doesn't agree. And everyone kind of pays lip service to him, like, oh, no, he's an impressive guy. If Ron Paul actually took power, the libertarians took power, people would try to kill him. Because nobody agrees with Ron Paul in real life. I don't know why they're pretending they do. I do.
So he's the real thing.
He is the real thing. Oh, my gosh.
So there you have them saying that Ron Paul is the real thing. They're right there at the end. Pretty significant. So let's go ahead and go on to the next clip from here. Just a moment. Give me a chance to cue it up. Let's see what we got for you. I know there's another one in here. Okay, Jack Cafferty on The View. Let me back this up.
Jack Cafferty is CNN's The Situation Room's correspondent who takes aim at our government, the media, and even himself in a new book that I really can't get enough of. It's called It's Getting Out Ugly Out There. Please welcome my friend, Jack Cafferty.
I'm concerned. You know, we have a tradition in this country that the next generation always has it better than the generation that went before.
Yeah.
Your kids are supposed to live better than you did, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're at a point where that is going to begin to change, and that bothers me. I've got four daughters, I've got four grandchildren, and I'm concerned about the kind of country this is becoming. It really does bother me.
Because I'm just now starting to vote and get into politics, and I was reading your book, and you have something to say about everybody, and I'm getting so discouraged because what am I supposed to be looking for in my candidate? Everybody says what I want to hear. So what am I supposed to do?
Well, they lie to us. That's what they do. In order to get elected, they'll tell you anything you want to hear. And the problem is the system is broken. And it doesn't matter almost who the candidates are. The only way you can get elected to the highest office in the country is you got to be taken payoffs from special interests and lobbyists and right. big business and this one. I mean, look at the amount of money that's been raised already, and we haven't even had a primary yet. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And the people who don't raise that kind of money get no shot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the message is, doesn't matter how good or bad they might be, we never hear them.
Well, they're saying Ron Paul has raised as much money as McCain now, and they don't know what Ron Paul's going to do with that money, because he's not going to get the nomination.
I like Ron Paul, and I'm not a Republican Democrat. I just happen to like his message. You know, he's advocating some radical things. Pull all the troops out of South Korea. Don't worry about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. We can deal with it. There are a lot of other countries in the world that have nuclear weapons. Get the troops out of Iraq and bring them home. He's saying some things that at least are different. It's not the same message over and over and over. The rest of them, I mean, they're all interchangeable. Democrats are no different than Republicans. I like Ron Paul, and I'm not a Republican Democrat. I just happen to like his message. You know, he's advocating.
Jack, we could talk to you every day, all day long.
I'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah. And I love this man. You can catch him on The Situation Room on CNN. But I'm letting everybody know that everybody in our audience is getting a copy of the book.
Okay, so that's Jack Cafferty on The View. And we know that The View is certainly a watched program, influential. And Jack Cafferty is certainly, I would suppose, a major media figure. So this is coming straight out saying, I like Ron Paul and I like his message. Sounds like a breakthrough to me, Chris. What do you think?
Well, it's a major breakthrough. I mean, the tidal wave is starting to hit the shore. And I kind of liken it to a pebble you throw in the pond. Except as the waves start to hit the shore, it's turned into a tidal wave. If I could mention something, there's for those that aren't aware of this issue, I'd like to bring this up to show people how it can happen. You're probably aware of this, but many of your listeners aren't. Only 10% of registered voters of each state actually decide who actually runs or wins the presidential primaries. And out of that, it's split up between Democrats and Republicans. Now, if you take that in context, like in Tennessee, we had 250,000 people decided who the nomination was in 2000, who the Republican nominee was.
250,000 people? Did you say you said 250,000 people?
That is, and if you're willing, you can go to the Secretary of State of Tennessee and find out. But it's pretty much that way across the board. I mean, some states are more, some states are less.
I got that statistic in California. Only 2 million people voted in the primaries. Now I believe, and I could be wrong with this, but I believe that is 2 million people, both Republican and Democrat, voted in the primaries in the last go round, which is. I don't know what our population. I think it's something like 40 million. So that's not a lot of people. Go ahead.
No, it's not. In Tennessee, if we just like we're in Memphis, we're in Knoxville, we're in Nashville, we're in Chattanooga, Cleveland, Maryville, we're in almost every major city in Tennessee. If we just get a small percent of the population keep up with their name and number, and by hell or high water, get the primaries, we can win it. And we do this across the board in every state, we can win this landslide.
My friend, you have hit the nail on the head, and you have said the same thing that I have been saying both on air and privately and to people in my groups, that primary elections are low voter turnout events. A motivated and organized force can pull off a stunning upset. If we get it together, if we are organized, like you're saying, get a list of everybody, go door to door. Are you going to vote for Ron Paul? Great. What's your name? What's your telephone number? Write down their address. Excellent. Whether you're at a shopping mall, wherever you are, get that information. A couple of days before election time, you call that person up and say, you're going to vote for Ron Paul? Okay, let me give you a ride down to the polls, whatever it takes. Grab them by the hair, grab them by the lapel, give them a carrot, whatever it takes. Get them down. If we're organized like that, we can make this thing happen. We can steal this election. We can win this election. We can win the nomination for Ron Paul. People do not give a damn about the other candidates. There is total apathy for all the other Republican candidates. They're not going to turn out for the polls that day. If we're organized, if we turn our people out, we're going to win the Republican nomination. Go ahead.
Well, even better than that, you got the neoconservative vote that's being split between Giuliani, Fred Thompson, and maybe McCain. And then you've got the Christian conservative vote, which actually I personally believe a good chunk of that's going to go to Ron Paul. A lot of preachers down here like Chuck Baldwin now have come out and said, you know what, Huckabee is a sham, he's a liberal, and we're not going to go for him. Our only other choice is Ron Paul. We've got a lot of preachers starting to come out. I don't know if you ever heard the sermon that Alabama preacher did at the straw poll, but we've got a lot of Christian conservatives starting to come out now. They don't like Thompson, and they don't like Huckabee, which is pretty much our only choice down here.
Right.
So it actually leaves a void. But hopefully I can call you back here in a few weeks, and we're working on a dialer system, an automated dialer, and an interactive voice response system, as well as polling. So hopefully I've got some good news to tell you here in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. You've got to keep us posted on everything that you're doing and all the fresh ideas you're coming up with and the results you're getting so that we can get it out to everybody and they can pick up on it. Here's another little piece here. Ron Paul surging in the polls among moderates. This is at usaelectionpolls.com. So apparently there are a couple of new polls out, and it says Ron Paul surging in the polls among moderates, October 8th. I guess that was today. There is more great news for the Ron Paul campaign, not just the money he raised in the third quarter, but also that this is starting to translate into real-life support. That I should really say is starting to translate into support registered by the polls that they do. But among moderates in New Hampshire, Ron Paul is in the double digits. Let's see, we've got John McCain, 26%. That's somewhat surprising to me. Mitt Romney, 17%. Rudy Giuliani, 16%. Ron Paul, 10%. He's ahead of Fred Thompson, who's registering 5%, and Mike Huckabee, 4%. Unsure is 21%. So looking like a little bit of movement, at least in some of these mainstream polls. In Michigan, Ron Paul is sitting at 8% among moderates. And that's John McCain, 20%, Rudy Giuliani, 16%, and then Ron Paul, 8%, with Romney, 6%, Fred Thompson, 5%, Huckabee, 5%, and so on down. So a little bit of something there anyway in these so-called polls, though that is certainly the last indicator that I will ever look at to find out what's really going on is a poll, but at least somehow we're seeing some kind of a movement in those as well. So all in all, nothing to be complaining about, nothing to be not optimistic about. I think we have everything ahead of us. We are witnessing the blast-off phase. It's happening literally right now, and I think that this week and this weekend, with the All-America Walk and the big rally in New York, I think we can be all very optimistic about what's coming up in the very near future. And Chris, I want to thank you. Any last words for our listeners out there?
Yes, please. I personally believe that all the efforts in the election is going to come down to grassroots efforts. So please get active, get out there. I carry around brochures with me, and during my lunch break, I go out and hand out brochures and talk to people. Get active and hit the streets.
Thank you, sir. I couldn't have said it better. You're absolutely 1,000% correct. You know, it's just as simple as this. With the forces that we already have, we're at 50,000 plus, we're like 51,000 people organizing these meetups. If every one of those people did what you're doing, did what I'm doing, did what a lot of the folks that we know are doing, if every single one of them did this, there's no way we could lose this election. We would win. We're going to win this election. It's that simple. The problem is that only a minority are actually active, getting out from behind their computers and walking the walk. So this is what has to change. Everything's being done the right way. The campaign is doing its thing. The meetups are doing their thing. But we need more people to get more active and more committed, because if we do, we win. It's that simple. If we don't, then we don't necessarily win, and we probably won't win if people don't get fully committed.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah, go for it.
one last thing. Everybody's talking about election fraud. Look, people out there, election fraud can only occur if the vote is just off 2 or 3%. If there's so much support out there, there's no way that they can steal election. The only way they can shift the election if it's like 48%. If it's overwhelming, they cannot steal the election.
Yeah, and there's legitimate concerns about the electronic voting machines and all this stuff, and there's no way that you can say it's not a legitimate concern. It's a legitimate concern. However, I am with you in that we don't need to be focusing our energy on that. We need to focus on the message, getting the message out there, and organizing the people to vote. Get that, make it happen in a big way, like you're saying. They can monkey all they want to with the elections. If our numbers are sufficient, they're not going to be able to deny us. So I agree with you let's not get all wrapped up in secondary things that are not about organizing, about getting the message out there. That's job one. These other things, they can be handled, they can be dealt with, but they can't be the primary focus. First thing's got to be organizing and getting the message out there. So, Chris, I want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing the show with us. Don't be a stranger. You don't need an invitation. Just call in any old time. Same thing goes for everybody else out there. The number to call in is 877-270-8714. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show if you want to give a ring and chime in on anything that me and Chris talked about today. I'm going to go ahead and let you go, Chris. I'll talk to you later. And have a great walk. We're going to need you to call in from Memphis with a live report on Saturday. Tell us all about how your walk is going there in Memphis, okay?
We will.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Chris Holly, the Ron Paul meetup organizer in Memphis, Tennessee, reporting on what happened this weekend, the spectacular success of the Ron Paul visit to Nashville, Tennessee. So let's see what else I got here for you. Just want to talk a little bit more about, mentioned briefly, Rand Paul, who is Ron Paul's son. And I happened to mention on Friday that we'd been seeing him a little bit more in the campaign and in the news, and I was getting this sensation, this feeling, everyone wonders what if something happened to Dr. Paul. He is 72 years old after all, and whatnot, anything can happen. What would happen to, the movement? And, my feeling is that it's not dependent, and he says this himself. I mean, he says it's not dependent on him. It's the message. And he's right. It's true. It's the message. What would happen? And, I said, Rand Paul is looking more and more like, he would inherit the legacy of his father. And today, we heard in the Nashville speech, Dr. Paul, after being introduced by Rand Paul, mentions, maybe he might be getting more involved in the political process. And sort of confirmed my suspicions that perhaps we may be talking about congressman or senator, perhaps, Rand Paul. Why not? I could see it happening. There's a little news report here that I'll play for you from News 13 in, I believe, Nashville with Rand Paul, about and with Rand Paul. Now, he's in Bowling Green, Tennessee, apparently, is where Rand Paul actually lives.
Paul just returned from New Hampshire, where he was campaigning for his father, Republican presidential hopeful Ron Paul. Our Tamara Evans talks with Dr. Paul about his father's campaign and the congressman's big announcement that aired on World News Tonight yesterday.
I think the word is spreading.
Dr. Rand Paul says he's amazed at the number of supporters his father, Congressman Ron Paul, has gained in the presidential race.
I won't even bring it up with a patient in the office, and they'll bring it up, and they will have heard about him through friends or through the Internet.
The Internet is how many people, especially the young college crowd, have learned more about Ron Paul and have shown their support. Dr. Paul says there's one big issue getting them involved in this campaign.
I think it's the war issue. Ron Paul's the only candidate that in the Republican side that says that we should end the war.
If you were president, what would be your strategy for ending the war in Iraq?
Just come home. We just marched in. We just come home.
On Wednesday, Ron Paul's campaign revealed it had raised $5 million in the third fundraising quarter, something his son says is a huge boost to the campaign.
This is double what we raised in the second quarter, and more importantly, we now have $5 million in hand, which is more than John McCain, nearly as much as a couple of the other more well-known names that you've heard in the Republican primary.
Still, he says there's a lot to be done before the primary election, especially since some states are having them earlier this year than before.
30 states will be done by February 12th, and it's harder for a candidate with less name ID like my father to get things rolling as fast.
Dr. Paul says in order to do this, his father will continue hitting the campaign trail to gain money and support and using the internet to help spread the word of what he stands for.
We just want that message out there, and the multiplying effect that the message has when it gets out on the internet is just phenomenal.
In Bowling Green, Tamara Evans, WBKO.
Dr. Paul says his father has more than 900 meeting groups across the country and over 50,000 volunteers. They hope to start an organization in Kentucky over the next few months to support Congressman Ron Paul. He says they'll also be holding a campaign rally with Ron Paul this Saturday at the War Memorial Auditorium in Nashville. It'll run from 1 until 3 in the afternoon.
Okay, so nothing to complain about there. And interesting that Rand Paul's sort of manner of speech is quite reminiscent of Dr. Paul, and you know, I think he has a nice way about him. He presents well. He's clear. I can see Congressman Rand Paul. So let's look forward to more of that. I think I'm going to go ahead and leave you with that today. And just another reminder: it's time to walk the walk. The All-America Walk for Ron Paul's Freedom message. So find out where your local walk is by going to www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And you can find on the upper right-hand corner of the page the link to the All-America Walk page, where everything is listed there. Right now, 44 different walks all across the country. And I'm sure if you are having a walk and you don't know for sure that your walk is listed, please check the page. And if you find that it's not listed, let me know about it, because I'm constantly discovering walks that I didn't even know existed. And get that information to me so I can put you up on the big board there. Freedom message at sbcglobal.net, freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. So give me a ring and give me an email and get me that information. Now, if you haven't got anything going on in your area, it's not too late. Just go ahead and email me, freedommessage@sbcglobal.net, and I will help you put together a walk. It's pretty much a piece of cake. Just pick a place, pick a time, and I have some signs available and some literature to give out. Get your posse together and walk down a busy street where there's lots of foot and vehicular traffic. Display your signs, say, "Yeah, Ron Paul," and spread the excitement and the fun and the joy of the freedom message everywhere you go. Not rocket science, and it's a lot of fun. If you haven't done one, you're missing out. It is a whole lot of fun. So get on board the freedom train and get that freedom message out there. So let me go ahead and leave you with a song today. Let me leave you with Scott Mitchell's Freedom Message.
We're standing in line to share. republic, it's our heritage to keep. As we betray our birthright and quench the Father's dream, it's not too late to speak the truth from sea to shining sea. We can find our way back home. Shout the message loud and clear. The Ron Paul Revolution's here. It's freedom, freedom. We will lift our voice and let freedom ring. We can find our way back home. Shout the message loud and clear. The Ron Paul Revolution's here. It's freedom, freedom. We will lift our voice and let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Yeah. Oh, shout.